But that is an eternal thing that I had to do. I didn't see how it was going to work out. I didn't know how that was going to work out. I didn't know. I went back to India, and it was really funny. India, and that country I'm referring to, they are not in good relationship. Not at all. So the leader that I was working under in India came to me, and he said, I understood that they're trying to get you to come to that country. If you go to that country, we're not going to share you. I said, you're not going to share me. He goes, no, you belong to us. You need to understand, there's not even an airline that goes back between our two countries. He said, and we don't want to lose you. Please, please don't go there. It would be really hard. You know me. I thought that was a bunch of baloney. But I also listened to the Lord, and the Lord did not open the door for me to go back. He didn't. I went back to India. I've been back there from that time several times. Amen? In Hebrews 3:14, it says, we have come to share Christ if we hold firmly to the end the assurance that we had put it first. I want to put God first. He's got to be first. Whether I understand it or not, He taught me how to, when He first started using me, when He started having me serve Him, He came and visited me. Jesus came and visited me in my house, face to face. The next week, Jesus came back again. Only the second time He came, He had a different bent about Him that made me kind of nervous. And He told me that that Henry was such a good guy, they were taking him home. Get prepared that Henry was going to die. Well, I was devastated. I wasn't ready to lose my husband. My son was in his senior year of high school, and that just devastated me. And I know this sounds weird, and you're going to have to trust me on this, but so I went around for a week just fussing. Henry had cholesterol problems, and we'd been fighting it for 2 years, and because of the reports. And I remember, I think it was the second week after that took place, that I said, Lord, I just don't understand why you told me that. In fact, you know what? I don't think it was you. And He chuckled and He said, what made you come to that conclusion? I said, it was the hug. It was unclean. That's what it was. The first time He hugged me, He was my brother. I mean, it was so clean. But the second time, it was like He held on a little bit longer and tighter, and it felt unclean. And He says, well, why didn't you acknowledge it? I said, well, I wasn't sure, and I'm sorry. I said, well, why did you allow that to happen? And He said, because you need to recognize my voice versus His voice. Because where I'm taking you, you need to know it's me. And after that, I mean, I'm telling you what. Number one, Satan is really angry at me because I found a key, and he can't stand it. When I'm troubled, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And what does the devil do when you start saying Jesus? Heartfelt here. I mean, anybody could say Jesus and not mean it, and he knows the difference. But I'm saying it with everything in me. In Jesus' name, get out of here. You know what? He snivels out. I mean, because there is a law. God made a law that every knee shall bow at the name of Jesus Christ. That includes the sent bad angels from heaven. They have to follow that law. That's a law. And you just say Jesus' name, the power of His name. I'm here to report to you. It was that power that 2 months ago, God gave me my mentally ill daughter back. He gave her back to me, her mind clear, her heart right. She's reading, she's writing, she's reading her Bible. And it was because we finally convinced her to say Jesus. Jesus. She had, hepatitis. And her liver was expanded, and she had so much fluid, her stomach was out to here. I mean, it was like she was in terrible pain. And I was in South Asia. And I mean, it was like every day she got raped. and left. They beat her up and left her in a dumpster. They didn't find her till the next day, and she was pumped up. They had to cut her clothes off of her. And God rescued her. Some security guard went back there and saw her, and they got her to the hospital. They had to cut all of her clothes off, whatever, and she'd gone to the store to get a gallon of milk and I think a loaf of bread, I'm not sure, but she had this bag. When they found her, she was clutching this bag. They left her there for dead, by the way, in a dumpster behind a Safeway store. And she was clutching this bag. And Henry, when he went to the hospital, you know, he was going back and forth and visiting her. Anyway, she finally got out, I don't know, 2 or 3 weeks, I can't remember how long it was. And when she got out, they brought out that bag and gave it to Henry because it was her belongings. Rotten milk, rotten eggs. I mean, oh my gosh, it was like common sense. Where is that? You know, but I'm gonna tell you, I kept telling Henry on the phone, I said, Henry, we can't let her bully us. It's the devil in her bullying us. And that's what's going on, is we have to have a voice to say, quit bullying us, enemy. I said, you got to tell her to say Jesus' name. And he said, she will just go into a fit. I said, Henry, tell her if she says Jesus' name, she'll figure it out. Just tell her, say Jesus' name, and he'll take your pain away. She was in so much pain. And he said, all right, I'll try it, but you know, it'll probably send her out. It'll be tough. I said, I'm going to be praying. Sarah was praying, and I want you to know that she was laying there crying, carrying on, and she was in the hospital. And she hurt so bad. She goes, Dad, I hurt so bad. Please help me. Please help me. He says, you know who can help you is Jesus. Your mom told me to tell you, just ask Jesus to help you. She said, well, that means I have to repent. And she said, I've done so much bad. He will never forgive me. And he said, that's not true. That's not true. He said, just say Jesus. Test him. She said, Jesus, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Jesus, please help me. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. And boom, pain went away like that. Honest to God testimony. It went away like that. Amazing? I mean, after that happened, she lost 40 pounds. She lost 40 pounds. They went in and, I mean, they just started working on her. They're still working on her. You know what she said? Dad, can you give me a Bible, big letter Bible? She couldn't even see. She could see again. She, Dad, can you, I can't have a pen here, but can I have a crayon so I can write to God and thank him? So she's writing in a journal in crayon because they don't trust her not to kill herself because she was so bad that she only had crayons. Then she found out I was in town. I'd come in. I was really excited, but I didn't know if she would see me, if it would cause her to manifest, because she got it in her head. Satan told her I was the Apostle Paul and she's supposed to kill me. Well, she tried. And so I didn't know if it would set her off, what was going to happen, that was going so good. She called and she said, Dad, where are you? And he said, your mother just flew in and we just had lunch. She said, tell her I want to see her. I want to see her. Tell her please come and see me. And I went and saw her. And I mean, she did really good. Very toward the end, she started getting a peculiar look on her face. And Henry says, what's going on? And she says, the voices are telling me that I can't listen to you guys anymore, and you should get out of here before I hurt Mom. Oh, I'm out of here. I was like, I don't need this. But I mean, we weren't even on the road 5 minutes, and she was calling, just sobbing and asking forgiveness. So then I left, and then Henry took Christy to lunch the next week, and this was the biggest thing. You all know that my granddaughter, my 20-year-old granddaughter, was murdered. She died. And whenever we could never talk to Christy about Christelle. Even though she was there at the memorial service and everything, you know, cried and went through that process with her mental illness. She did really, really well, considering. But after maybe about 6 months, she started calling the house asking to talk to Christelle. And she was thinking she was like 6 or 8 years old. And it was hard. It was often. It was like, I miss Christelle so much. And she would call and she'd go, where is she? Can I talk to her? And I'll go, no, she's with her friends. And she goes, well, she probably doesn't want to talk to me anyway. I mean, this went on. How long has it been going on? A while. Anyway, so her and her daddy are sitting at a restaurant. And she looks at her dad and she goes, Dad, I got something to tell you. She says, I know Christelle's dead. She just shocked it. She said, but well, this is what I have to ask. She said, the last time I was with Christelle before she died, we had a bad fight. A bad fight. She said, do you think she'll ever forgive me? Of course, her dad jumped on it and said, absolutely, absolutely. And he told her about heaven and that she was going to get to see her again. Listen, how long have we been praying for a healing for Christy? A long time. And what we've gone through has just been literal nightmare. And people, parents like Henry and I that have children like that, I have such compassion for them because it is it's a no-win situation because if they're over 21, you cannot get any help. You're the parents, you don't count. There wasn't anything we could do for her. I mean that, you know, just they just put them out on the streets and you know, that's it. But God, what has he done? He already knew what he was going to do with Christy. We just kept hanging in there. We did not hang her out to dry. We didn't reject her. We loved her. We've done everything that we can do to help her have a quality of life at the level where she's at. And look what God has done. She's, what, 43 years old. That accident that made her like that, she was 21. All those years of dealing with that level of mental illness. And look what God did. I celebrate it. I mean, I'm blown away. I'm full of joy, you know, to get our daughter back. She's 100% back, but she's moving toward that way. Amen? Amen. I'm just so glad what I have. It was like we're talking to an 18-year-old daughter what she was like when she was 18 years old. That's how much she's being restored. Is that a miracle? I would call it a miracle. You know, but through it all, we kept praying and never losing hope. I mean, it didn't look like it would ever happen. But I'll tell you what, that was the hope that he's talking about, what you can't see. But what I do, and what I've been doing for a long time, is speaking those things that aren't as if they are. Amen. We just got to start grabbing it, speaking. I mean, I've read teachings where that's really blown out of proportion, but God says, you just speak that which isn't as if it is and watch and see what I'll do. Let me perform. Let me perform. Amen? Praise God. Praise God. So I do want to close here in just a second, but I want to leave this thought with you tonight. This conference is called Redemptive Faith, okay? The Word is our anchor. There isn't anything else greater on this earth that you can have than the Word. Amen? And there isn't a greater gift that you can give God back is trust. I mean, yes, faith is very important, but faith gets you to the place to trust. Amen? So the scripture that God gave us was out of 119, 130. Out of the Amplified, it says, the entrance and unfolding of your words gives life. Their unfolding gives understanding, discernment, comprehension, and it is given to the simple childlike. Now think about that. Unfolding gives understanding. His word. I went back and I last night I asked everybody to read Psalms 19. So I'm going to go there real quick and read it to you. Psalms 19 is very important because it tells you what the whole Psalms 119 from verse 1 all the way to 176. Amen? So let me get there. Amen? Do you want to know this? I want to do 119 first, and then I'll go to Psalms 119. And by the way, go to the Passion Translation and read Psalms 119 from beginning to end. Let that be an assignment to you. Amen? Out of the, let's see, this would be. But this is what God wants us to know about Psalms 19. This is a preempt of it. Psalms 19, 7 through 9. The instruction of the Lord is perfect, the renewing of one's life. The testimony of the Lord is trustworthy, making the inexperienced wise. The precepts of the Lord are right, and right making for a glad heart. Amen? The command of the Lord is radiant, making the eyes light up. And the fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever, and the ordinances of the Lord are reliable and altogether righteous. When you look at those scriptures and then go to Psalms 119 and begin to, and it's right in the middle of the Bible. I think that's awesome. But Psalms 119, second. This is what I'm going to tell you you're going to find in there. And if you activate it, you're flat going to be blessed. I'm just going to give you an overview of what the Lord has shown me. Amen? First of all, within Psalms 119, you're going to see a reoccurring, like eight scriptures, and then it starts over. Eight scriptures, and it starts over. Eight scriptures all the way through. And this is what it's going to show you. It's going to show you God's law. You're going to see God's law in Psalms 119. You're going to see God's testimonies that will not come back void when you speak them. It's like God is saying, look at the whole Bible. It is written. Why do you have to reinvent the wheel? It is written. You pull his scriptures up. Watch the power in those scriptures when you say, is it not written? Just like Jesus did when he was out in the wilderness. He said, is it not written? That's what he dealt with the enemy with. And there's healings and deliverances. There's learning and establishing and everything that you need to pull down in Psalms 119 all the way through. There's the promises. He's got lots of promises that will just be highlighted to you. There's precepts. There's statutes. And there's commandments. And there's judgments. And it's his word. And it will not come back void. Amen? These all contribute. That whole chapter contributes to the building up of a holy, faithful person. If you can just embrace Psalms 119, you will see him establish you. You'll go, well, I can't do that, or I don't know how to do that, or I can't remember, or whatever it is coming down the pike. You just trust God and watch him establish you. He says, ask me to give you a big heart. How many of you want a big heart? How many of you want to be more compassionate? Psalms 119, it's right in there. It will show you the way to say, Lord, enlarge my heart. David said it several times. Lord, enlarge my heart. Amen? I think about Secretariat, the horse that run the races, and he always won. I mean, if he didn't win, it was because of a toothache or some problem he had. But he won his races, and when he died later, they opened him up. He had an enlarged heart. He could have won the Kentucky Derby over and over and over again. He could have went around another three or six laps, whatever. His heart was built to withstand. God says, let me build your heart to withstand so you can run the race set before you. Amen? Please be encouraged with that. Amen? It goes on to say that in Psalms, the full meanings will help us. Number one, you'll find it liberating. Isn't that your topic? Who is it? Liberating. Is it you? Who is it? John, read. That's right. Liberating. You'll find the word of God throughout liberating, but Psalms 119 will be liberating. It will set you free from lies. Amen? It's directive. You read it, you will see your footsteps ordered in Jesus' name. Amen? He guides you. He directs you. Amen? He says, you may make your plans, but let me direct you. Amen? He gives openings. What are the openings? The opportunities, open doors. I ask God to open doors, open doors. That was your heart, openings. Open your heart to all that he wants for you. Amen? And he gives us gracious steps. Amen? But this is what I want you to really understand. He wants to establish, what you're going to see in 119, is him establishing a covenant relationship with you. You'll see it. You'll sense it. He's talking directly to you. He's not talking to somebody over there. Take that word and apply it every day, every moment to your life. And read the Passion, because I love the Passion the best. I love the Amplified. I copied the Amplified and just carried it around with me. And just, it celebrates God's word. Psalms 119 just celebrates it over and over and over again. So there it is. It establishes, it gives you destiny, the liberation that I just said a minute ago, and God's grace. Oh my gosh, God's grace in Psalms 119. It's an important to him. That Psalms 119 and Psalms 139, I think it's 139, those two are my favorite scriptures. If you hold on to those and believe those, man, you are pretty much locked and loaded. Amen? Amen. Let me just see what else. You know, the big word for this year that I used over and over, I mean, trust is really coming in. Trust is going to go in the next 10 years to just trust him in all my ways. But the word that I had all year is obedience. And obedience has to do with being stretched. And if I can do anything to leave you with this thought, when God asks you to do something, let's say God uses me to ask you to do something, are you immediately working on your excuses? Or are you saying, yes, Lord, whatever it is you need? Amen? I promise you, if I approach you to ask you to speak, I did not pick you. God did. I go in my closet and I say, who, Lord? I already have a list. I mean, I think I'm just lacking one person that I'm not sure of, that I can get a hold of them. Not sure. I think they're the speaker, but I don't know how to get a hold of them. But I've already got the list already in play. They don't know they're being chosen, but God chose them. And I'm going to deliver that. As soon as Debbie and I get together, I haven't given it to her yet, have I? It's on my dresser. It is. Anyway, I'm just saying, be willing to be obedient. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Don't use that word around me. Obedience, obedience, obedience. I'm telling you, the paybacks on it are amazing. Just amazing. Praise the Lord. So I'm gonna end there. Let God's words here, the entrance and unfolding of your words give light. Wherever you go, when you speak up, it's coming out of your mouth. The light of the Lord, it gives life. The unfolding gives understanding, discernment, comprehension to even the simple childlike. It doesn't matter who you are. That's Psalms 119, 130, the Amplified. Comprehension, discernment, and understanding. Open your Bible, and before you even read one word, just say, Lord, unfold your word for me. Enlarge my heart. Establish me in your word. I want to remember it. Put it in my heart so you can use it whenever you want to use it. Amen? Anyway. Well, praise the Lord, you guys. Thank you for letting me share.